This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Om Sairam to our listeners. Welcome to Saturday News number 1110. Today we'll be hearing a talk given by Sister Chitra Kumar. She has drawn to Swami's teachings of human values through SSE program and young adults community, even before becoming aware of the nature of Swami. She narrates stories where she has moments of extreme bliss and disappointments intertwined, leading to deep reflections. So before we get into it, let's have a Ganesh Bhajan and we'll hear a talk by Sister Chitra Kumar.
Ganesh is sweetest one, how may I implore thee? Ganesh, dearest one, clear the path before me. Ganesh, in my heart, truly I adore thee. Ganesh, I pray thou art always here before me. Ganesh, Ganesh. Sweetest one, humbly I implore thee. Ganesh, dearest one, clear the path before me. Ganesh, in my heart, truly I adore thee. Ganesh, I pray thou art always here before me. Ganesh, Kripa Karoma Vinayaka Jaya Ganesha Ishvadana Paranama Shri Ganesha. Ganesha, 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 sweetest one. Ganesh, dearest one, clear the path before me. Ganesh, in my heart, I adore thee. And Ganesh, I pray thou art always here before me. I pray thou art always here before me.
Sairam, dear listeners, welcome to Sai Soul 100. Our guest today is Sister Chitra Kumar, who's joining us from Arlington, Virginia. Sairam, Sister Chitra, thank you for joining Sai Soul 100.
Sairam Prabha, thank you so much for having me today.
Sairam, thank you. Please share your story.
My story starts from when I was very young. When I was 3 years old, my family moved to the United States to a very small town called Monett, Missouri, where we were the only Indian family. And there was no Indian community. There was no Hindu community. And that's the tradition that I was born into. And my family was very, very pious, but not Swami devotees. So we did the best we could in that town. And then eventually we ended up in a town called South Bend, Indiana. And at that time, I was 9 years old when we moved there. And I joined SSE because there was a wonderful auntie there who was a beautiful bhajan singer. And my mom, who was also a musician, was very attracted to the bhajans and the music part of the Sai Center that had been set up. It was a very small center with just a few families. And that was where I actually got a chance to meet children my own age and started to form friendships, close friendships, through meeting every week on Sunday with other like-minded families. Now, most of us did not actually know Swami. We didn't follow Swami, but we were attracted again to the idea of a community, and we learned about human values through the SSE program. And for me, as a very kind of interested and child, I was very interested in learning more about spirituality. It just came naturally to me because I think I was a kind of anxious kid. I was worried about things like what happens to us after we die, you know, what happens, what's the meaning of life? I just used to ask all these questions, and somehow my own parents, they would be very spiritual at home. They would do the prayers and things, but they weren't able to explain to me why they do those things. And so when I would go with those questions to the Balikas teacher, they would have some more answers. And I learned slokas, I learned mantras, and I got to learn some bhajans too. And that was very special to me. And my brother, I have an older brother, we would go together. And we had a really nice life there, but we never learned about Swami because my parents and other parents who were non-Sai devotees were made an agreement with the teacher, and they said, you know, this is not what we believe, but that's okay. We want the children to learn these values, which are really good. And that was really important for me because the town that we grew up in was very Christian. And I was constantly feeling like I was not understanding, you know, children would want to try to convert me into Christianity, and they wouldn't understand if I explained that I'm Hindu. And so having this other framework to understand that, you know, Swami's message, the five human values that are present in all religions, that even learning and discovering what are these other religions was a wonderful foundation for me, and helped me to be able to be a little more strong in my own conviction around my heritage and my spirituality. But at that time, you know, I was very young and I wasn't thinking so much about those things. It wasn't actually until I went away to college where I was tested. And Swami at that time was just somebody who was a picture on the wall in the Balbikas teacher's house. And I hadn't really thought of this person as anything but just that, just a person who this other family felt deeply about. But when I came back to visit the center, and I would go back to Bhajans when I was in college, there was a new teacher there. And this was actually Christian Moves, who was our speaker at our last retreat in Region 2, in the Mid-Atlantic retreat. And, you know, you could hear when he talked how devoted he was to Swami. And he had recently moved there as a professor to Notre Dame. And, you know, he was the first Westerner who I had seen come and explain so beautifully Swami's message. And he just couldn't talk about the message without talking about Swami. And it made me very curious, like, why does this person believe? What is all this? And at the same time, I was in college, you know, doing what college kids do, exploring my freedom, you know, trying to fit in with all the other kids who were exploring their freedom. And somehow, when I was struggling through all of that, I ended up meeting a few Sai devotees who were young adults at college. And they told me about a Sai center that was meeting regularly really close to my campus, which was at Boston University. And then they invited me to join. They invited me to their satsangs. And they were singing the same bhajans I knew. I was just so, you know, immediately kind of I was integrated with them so quickly. And when I went back to South Bend to visit family, Christian introduced me to my first book on Swami, Holy Man and the Psychiatrist. And I read it with great interest, just went through the book so quickly and was like, is it possible that someone could do miracles? Is it possible that they could transform people so much so that you had this Western scientist who was atheist, I believe, and totally did a 180 because of this person's teachings. And that's really what I think, the combination of having my own struggles, meeting young adults who were living and practicing Swami's teachings, the things that I felt comfortable with, and then just feeling a little bit curious about who this person was. That's kind of what my start was. And then, you know, there's a lot that happened. A lot of things that went on in life of Swami tested me in many ways. But my first time going to India after college, I actually had an opportunity to visit Prashanthanilayam. And it was only because there was an uncle, an auntie from South Bend, who was in Bangalore, which is the town that my family goes back to, that they happened to be in town at the same time. And so we went, and I was just so curious, again, just who is this? I had read this book by this time, and I wanted to see with my own eyes what would happen. So we went for two darshans. One, we sat way in the back, and we saw Swami come in his inimitable style. We saw the crowds. And the thing that really stuck with me, despite not getting close attention from Swami or anything, is just how disciplined everyone was and how peaceful the ashram was. It was like nothing I had ever seen before. And I had a sense of peace there that I didn't ever experience. I had never before experienced. And it really made an impression on me. Over the course of many years, started to want to get married. And I ended up in that process getting married to someone who is not a non-devotee, but a wonderful person with all of the values that I would have looked for based on Swami's teachings. And it was interesting because in that process, I had prayed a lot about like, what is the right path for me? And in that process, you know, never had like a solid answer, you know, like it's not like the stories that often people hear where Swami actually is the one who does the ceremony or gives the, you know, the parents are involved and gives the bride or the groom in the process. It was very much like my own process. And it included, you know, one trip with the Mid-Atlantic region to Bharti. It included the World Youth Conference in 2007. I had gone with the young adults to the World Youth Conference. And in that process is actually a beautiful story that was very powerful for me that I'd like to share. I went to the World Youth Conference because the young adults were being encouraged to, and in particular, they were inviting people to sing in the choir. There was going to be an international choir, and I love music. It was the way I connected with Swami so much, and they had said, if you want to practice in the choir, you have to come 5 days in advance or some number of days in advance to the conference, and it was really beautiful. It was so special to be there and learning these spiritual songs in a choir way, because I had participated in choir in high school and in college and graduate school. So it was really just something moving to me that it wasn't just Sanskrit bhajans that this organization held up. It was all sorts of music. So I did that. And when I got to the point of when we got to a few days into the World Youth Conference, there was a group of girls who were then invited to be a bhajan singing group to sing in front of Swami. And I knew some of those girls, and I kind of got drafted into being part of that group also. And we were, you know, practicing during certain hours for the choir and other hours on the same day for this bhajan group. And then we were doing seva, and we did get a chance for both the groups to sing in front of Swami. So first the bhajan group got called, and we were so excited to have the opportunity. You know, we were ready to present to him. We had so many ready. And in the moment of like waiting for him, I learned, waiting for that opportunity, even we were told, you know, you sit this way, keep your eyes open while you sing, you know, you have to, you know, sit quietly and meditate while you're waiting for Swami to come. And I was there in the veranda, in front of the veranda, waiting for Swami. He was sitting there. It was the closest I had ever been to Swami in having his darshan and like seeing his hair, and it was pin drop silent there, and all you could hear in the morning when we were starting. And I lost myself in this moment of peace and forgetting where I was, forgetting time, forgetting space, forgetting all the thoughts were. It was just blank. And then I remember sensing like a blue light, and it was quite some time until I kind of noticed Swami and everything around me again. And it was so beautiful. It was kind of a, just a beautiful experience, like a, almost a transcendent experience for me. And then the bhajan group was ready to sing. We got to sing a few songs, and unfortunately Swami stopped us. He didn't let us continue the whole program. So I had this highlight of being able to be close to Swami, the closest I'd ever been, having this sort of experience, and then feeling crushed that we didn't get a chance to finish our program. And so feeling like, why, Swami, why did you do this? We became so prepared. What about all the girls? Like, what does this mean? Why? You know, all these thoughts in the way, right? And at least I was thinking to myself, okay, Swami, so you know, you stopped that, but I have one more chance. I have this other choir performance, right? So I rushed to the choir practice. I, you know, diligently sat, but whereas at the beginning of the practice where I had come 5 days early and there were 50 people, now there were probably 150 people who had come to the choir. And my row from the front went to the way back. And so when we were actually performing for Swami, for the choir, I barely could see Swami. Of course, we do this, right? Like, why was it not enough for me to just have had one performance and, you know, in his presence? I don't know, other than I wanted another fix. Like I had had this fix of beauty, of this peaceful experience. And I thought somehow I would get more, you know, it would be beautiful to get more attention, or this would mean Swami really loved me, and that this would really solidify in my mind, like he is God and all, you know, something, right? And so I sat there, I sang again in front of him. I had learned some beautiful songs and mantras there. And again, he stopped us after two or three songs. My desire, you know, to have sung in front of Swami, to sing in Prashanthi Nilayam, like it was something for me. I was like, why? You know, I had a lot of questions coming out of that. And it was, it took me a long time to figure out what Swami was doing. And it was that ego that I had, that I was coming to perform in Prashanthi Nilayam, that I wanted more and more, that the singing was, I wasn't yet in that place of being able to be merged with what I was singing when I was offering it to Swami. after marriage, no, because I was married to a non-devotee, it was always something in me where I learned that Swami talks about a couple things. One is your life is your message. So that came home from the World Youth Conference. And I was constantly thinking, like, my work and should be worship. My work, the spirituality should come through whatever I'm doing at work. When I had the opportunity, at one point, I was invited to actually bring these things together by serving the organization as the National EnviroCare Coordinator. And initially, I was like, no way, I do not want to take on this role because it's going to be way too much work. I have a kid, I have a second kid by that time. I have a husband who's wonderful and super supportive at home, but you know, he's not coming to the SAI organization, SAI Center with me. And so I don't want this to be any place of conflict. And yet here's this beautiful opportunity. And Swami's doesn't ask, people don't ask randomly. This is not random. And I reflected on it. I prayed on it. And I talked to my husband about it. And he said, if that's something that you really want to do, I will support you. And that was what I needed in order to say yes. I mean, that's Swami teaches us that we need to be doing our duty at home. We need to be respecting our family members. And because if he had said, you know, Swami also says that we shouldn't, the only time not to listen to our elders or others is when they are keeping you away from God. And in this situation, you know, that wasn't the case. And it was so I stepped into this role and have been able to help with the SAI 100 initiatives. And I won't say that it's always easy. Nothing is easy. Swami's always testing us. And yet I look back and I think about all of these beautiful opportunities, these coincidences where Swami put me into this job, you know, coming out of college. He put this inspiration in my heart to serve others, serve the planet. It wasn't always clear how he was doing it, but he was sort of guiding me in different stages to navigate a family life that was non-Sai, but a deeper and deeper faith in his word and message, and being able to bring it out of the Sai organization and into the workplace. So over the past few years, starting in 2020, I was part of a group at EPA that actually created something called Mindful EPA, where we were bringing this as a program, a wellness program, to the agency and then to other parts of federal government. I won't take credit for doing all of that. I was part of a team with some wonderful other like-minded people. And, you know, Swami's orchestrated it so that we found each other and we could support each other through this. And then I left EPA last year and now I'm back in the nonprofit sector doing environmental work and really feel that now more than ever, Swami's message is so incredibly important. And because there is so much conflict in the world and the stakes are incredibly high to resolve so many of our environmental crises, humanitarian crises, so many problems that we need to be able to use Swami's message to be able to come together in unity and have more harmony in our society and our planet.
Sayadam, Sister Chitra, thank you so much for sharing these beautiful, beautiful stories. You know, starting from being at a place where, you know, you were attending SSC, but you didn't really learn about Swami. But Swami was in your life at that time and you didn't even know it. right? And then as you narrate and go through your life journey and you look back, you can see his hands throughout. One of the best examples that I can think of is when you were going to Bhakti, you were in the choir as well as the bhajan group, right? Although grand scheme of things where you practice, but Swami stopped the performance halfway. He gave you challenges. He gave you opportunities to reflect and learn and become more deeply connected to Swami because of all the reflections that you had to go through. While at the same time, he raised you so high up with that blissful experience of seeing the blue light and being in that moment, closeness to Swami, right? So throughout, he has this balance. He's keeping you in balance with both tough times, but guiding you through, although you might not be able to see his hands at that time, but also giving you all of these little moments of connections to Swami. To have that experience and then to have be in the Sai organization and to be the National EnviroCare Coordinator, I mean, there's no accidents. Right, it's all his hands at play here, and yes, challenging in terms of balancing everything. But yet, he has given you the skill set, and the package that's needed for you to do what you're doing with Sai 100 along with the rest of the team. So it's a beautiful, beautiful journey, and it continues. And Swami's 100th birthday is coming up in the next year, so you know, prayers to Swami to continue to guide us to make this planet a better place. Yes. And you did say you wanted to change the world. It's happening little by little.
I think lessons I've learned from Swami is getting rid of the doership, the I in it, that it's his hand and I'm an instrument. And the more I focus on that, the less I have to worry about the outcome, because so much of the planet is outside of our control, right? And the more I have gone into something thinking that I needed to do it, it didn't work out. But the more I take his message and it's his hand doing it, then I focus on just what I can do, my part, and leave the results to him.
Thank you, Chitra, for joining Sai Soul 100 and sharing your story.
Thank you, Sister Prabha. This has been a beautiful opportunity. Thank you.
Sairam. Sairam, dear listeners, thank you for listening to Sai Soul 100 with Sister Chitra Kumar. I'm Prabha Swaminathan. Until next time, Jai Sairam.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.